Shalom, Mishpocha. Shalom, family. Mishpocha is a Hebrew word. It means family. And we're the Mishpocha, the family with a Jewish heart, made up of Jewish and non-Jewish people, where the middle wall of separation between Jew and Gentile, it's finally come down to form one new man. Getting ready, Mishpocha, to blow the grandest shofar, all the grandest trumpet in Zion. We want everyone, everywhere, to hear the good news. We want everyone, everywhere, to be red hot for the Messiah. My guest is red hot for the Messiah. His name is Bill Morford, and he has spent 20 years on this project of the translation of a new Bible. It's both the Hebrew Scriptures and the New Testament. He's used as his basis an approved copy of the Hebrew Scriptures that any Jew in the world would say, this is our Bible, and the best Greek rendition of the New Testament. And he's brought out the meanings of the idioms. If you didn't know the Jewish idioms, when Jesus says, pluck out your eye, you might think you have to really pluck your eye out. You don't know what that is. What does that idiom mean, by the way, Bill?
Well, if your eye is evil, it means you're stingy. If your eye is good, it means you're generous. So what he's saying is, if you're stingy, get rid of your stinginess. Get a generous spirit.
And what about when he says, cut off your right hand? What does that mean?
The same thing, that if your hand offends you, which could indicate any number of improper actions, cut it off means stop doing it. Doesn't mean cut off your hand. It means stop doing that. And the right hand is a statement of power.
Now, Bill, you went back to the Hebrew names, not in a lot of areas, but like for Jesus, you said Yeshua. For Mary, you used her Hebrew name Miriam. For law, you said Torah. For James, you went to his Hebrew name Jacob. For trumpet, you say shofar. Only a few of these adjustments, but what difference does it make whether the Bible says Jesus or Yeshua?
Well, Yeshua is very significant because that's the name that was given to Miriam by the angel Gabriel. And Yeshua is a Hebrew word that means to deliver. It's a verb. It means to deliver or to save, but deliverance is the first. And he came to set us free, to deliver us from religious spirits as well as any demonic oppression.
So where did we get the name Jesus from?
Because when you write it in Greek, Greek has no SH sound, so it couldn't be Yeshua. It comes out Yesu. And when that was translated into Latin, the same letters, the Latin equivalent of the Greek, are used for his name. And when that was translated into English in the Middle Ages, what they did was they used the German J for I, because in German, the J is the equivalent of the Hebrew Yod. And the Saxons had come in and taken over England and brought a German influence into the English language. So it actually was pronounced Yesu in English originally, but in a few hundred years, it had changed dramatically, and it had our modern J sound. So that's how the J came in.
How did we get James from Jacob? Oh. They're not the same. They're two different people. And we have Jacob in the Jewish scriptures and the Hebrew scriptures, so why shouldn't we have Jacob in the New Testament?
Yeah.
But so how did we get that?
It's because the group that was hired to translate the King James Version wanted to bless their benefactor, and it's named after King James.
So they changed his name to James. I wonder how many Christians know that.
Yeah, not very many.
Okay, but I mean, I don't get those two, so maybe I'll try for a third. What about how did we get Mary instead of Miriam? I mean, why don't we change Miriam, the sister of Moses, to Mary in the Hebrew scriptures?
Maria is the Latin instead of Mary.
But why do we want a Latin name? Why don't we want her? Why shouldn't we have her name?
Because the first English translations were made from the Latin Vulgate text. And there are a number of Latin words that didn't get translated. That's the mansion in John 15. It's the tabernacle. That's the tabernacle of David. The word in the Hebrew is not tabernacle. It's sukkah. And that's from Amos 9, where the booth of David is resurrected and restored. And it's speaking of the kingly line.
So the family of David, in other words.
The family of David, yes.
So, and we always thought it was the place that David worshipped. So you're saying that all this teaching about David's tabernacle, where did it come from? Why did they mistranslate it? Because of the Latin?
Because they didn't translate the Latin word tabernaculum. Latin did not have a word for booth, and it did not. Its word for tent was tabernaculum. So that was used for the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is the Hebrew word mishkan. And we don't have an English word for mishkan, so tabernacle is entirely appropriate to use there. But a tent, we have a word for, so we should use tent. Booth, we have a word for. The sukkah, we need to have as booth of David, to put that in perspective so that we know we're talking about the messianic reign. And in Acts 15, it says to go on talking about world evangelism. And that's what it's for. The messianic reign is going to take the word of God throughout the earth. Absolutely.
Okay. I'm having difficulty understanding what you've said already as to why they did that. So let's try another one. How did they get a trumpet? I know what a trumpet is, you know, but it's not a shofar. Why did they switch shofar to trumpet? It definitely wasn't a trumpet with the three keys that you know?
Right. Well, the Latin used the word for trumpet instead of the word for shofar. It doesn't have shofar, actually, in either Greek or Latin. So when the first English translations were made, the people were ignorant of the shofar, and they just translate trumpet. Yeah, the Feast of Trumpets, there is no trumpet blown. Of course, you know that.
I've never seen a trumpet in a synagogue. I mean, these may sound like little things to people, but I'm interested in truth. In fact, I have to ask you this question. You took 20 years on this project, the One New Man Bible. Were you after trying to reinforce your beliefs when you did these translations?
No, I didn't. I just wanted to find truth. That's all I was looking for. I, of course, wanted to grow in the Lord. I did not try to impose my ideas. In fact, as I dug in, it changed my theology. Not that I changed the theology in the Bible.
Now, the books in the Hebrew scriptures are not in the same order as, say, the Bibles used in Christianity. Who's right? Who's wrong?
Well, I really love the Jewish book order. It is so much easier to follow, to understand.
All right, but wait a second. The last book in the Jewish scriptures is Chronicles.
Right.
How does that fit with the first book of the New Testament?
Oh, it's beautiful. And see, Chronicles was the last book written in the Hebrew scriptures.
You know, I think it's important to know what was the last book in the Hebrew Scriptures, as opposed to Malachi. It was Chronicles.
Right.
I just think that's a very important thing. But so if you go from Chronicles to Matthew, how does that work out? Does it work out any better than Malachi to Matthew?
It is. It's a beautiful flow. In fact, that book order flows beautifully from Genesis all the way through, not just Chronicles, but on through Revelation. It really is an easy book to read cover to cover and do it time after time after time. Every time you do it, every time you read it, you gain new things. You see things you've never seen before. And it's awesome the way you can just feel the flow going from Chronicles into Matthew.
And speaking about the flow, another thing I found interesting, you've made note of what are the Torah readings and the readings from the prophets that are read in every synagogue from the time of Jesus. They were read in, when Jesus would go into the synagogue, that's what he would read for that particular day. It was his readings, and that's still being read today in synagogues throughout the world. Do you find this fascinating to know you're reading what Jesus read on the particular day from the Torah, and it's being read today in synagogues all over the world?
That is. It's really wonderful. And my wife and I read that at home.
Whoops, we're out of time. I am so pleased to tell you we've put together our One New Man mentoring set, which includes this amazing One New Man Bible. This is the diamond of the group, and the inspiring 2012 Jewish calendar, most anointed world-class photographs of rivers in Israel, the dates of the Jewish feast, the exact Bible readings that Jesus himself read, and then my book, The Incomplete Church, all three items available in the One New Man mentoring set, available for a donation of $79. To hear this week's interview in its entirety, or to watch archives of our television show, It's Supernatural, visit our website at www.sidroth.org. That's www.sidroth.org. To receive a complimentary copy of our bi-monthly teaching newsletter, materials catalog, or information about becoming Mishpucha or Chalitzim, write to me, Sid Roth, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521. Or call our order-only line, 1-800-447-2697. To place a credit card order, call anytime, 1-800-447-2697. For all other calls, the number is 912-265-2500. That's 912-265-2500. For a CD of this week's broadcast, send a donation of $10 or more to Sid Roth, that's S-I-D-R-O-T-H, Post Office Box 1918, Brunswick, Georgia, 31521.